Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis. For those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach, absolutely delighted you could be with us today. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we'd love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And, by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, are, of course, in the aplenty. Chief Judge James Boasberg of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia gets smacked down and spanked by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Handing Trump actually an immigration win for which he never should have had to fight. But is the battle over? Thank you, U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. Thank you. Also, the Department of Homeland Security boxes the Democrats' collective ears over their use of the term undocumented immigrant versus the legal term alien. Seems rather straightforward. DHS cited that this is the way they dodge their accountability for protecting criminal illegal immigrants. So what's next on that horizon? Also, counties in Illinois are relabeling everything to match that which they can't otherwise defend. That's what they do. They love using labels in lieu of arguments they can't otherwise muster. And when it comes to biological males rivaling naturally born females in competitive school sports, there are these counties in Illinois who are saying enough is enough. And I'm loving it. Now, before I get any further, you may have noticed I'm a little distracted because something unique has arrived. You guys may have heard about this. But apparently, it looks as if a court has struck down as excessive penalty these fines inflicted on him by Letitia James. I'm looking at the headline right now from the Daily Signal. Breaking: court throws out multi-million dollar fraud penalty against Trump. It's written by Elizabeth Troutman Mitchell. And it's a hell of a read. You got to check this out. An appeals court threw out the $355 million fraud penalty against President Donald Trump on Thursday. The appellate division of the Supreme Court of the state of New York found the penalty excessive in violation of the Constitution. However, the court upheld last year's ruling finding Trump, his two oldest sons, and his business liable for 10 years of business fraud. Interesting. Trump responded to the ruling, praising the court for the courage to throw out this unlawful and disgraceful decision that was hurting businesses throughout the state of New York. It was a political witch hunt in a business sense, the likes of which no one has ever seen. He continued, "This was a case of election interference by the city and state trying to show illegally that I did things that were wrong when, in fact, everything I did was absolutely correct and even perfect. And you know what? It's true. The guy was characterized as having misrepresented his assets as a way to defraud his lenders into forking over more cash in a loan that would have otherwise been justified. And yet, Deutsche Bank, the financial source in question, made it abundantly clear that they were perfectly happy with the exchange. They even said as much in the trial. It's rather strange when the prosecution's witness or witnesses speak on behalf of the defendant. It was really strange. It said, hey, this is how business is done. They tell us what they think their assets are worth. We tell them what we think the assets are worth. We negotiate. We come to agreement. Folks, I would compare it very much to how all of us, or many of us anyway, might have experienced the purchasing of a new car. You have one yourself. You have a used car. You go in to purchase a new one. You're going to use your used car as a trade. So you fill out a form and you put down what you think its value is, which is always going to be higher than what the dealer thinks it is. And you guys hammer out a compromise and then you purchase the new car, both of you accepting whatever the agreed upon value of the used car turns out to be. Well, that's exactly what happens with Trump. He points out his assets, or pointed out his assets, as a way to, you know, gain as much favorability as he could for the terms of the loan. And of course, the financial institution in question, Deutsche Bank, did their own due diligence, came up with their assessment of the value. They came to terms on an agreement of the value, and then they moved forward with the loan. And Trump's organization made good on the loan, and everybody was happy. But Letitia James tried to say that because Trump did what everybody does, given the best representation of your assets, which cannot be hidden because the other side gets to do its due diligence. It's not like any fraud could have taken place. The due diligence was done. Okay, hey, he says it's worth X amount. We think it's worth another. We're going to come to terms on it and then go forward with the loan if everything's agreed upon. And that's what happened. And that's what this appellate court found. Actually, technically, the appellate division of the Supreme Court of the state of New York. I know it's a little confusing, but that's what happened. Really, just a head-spinning moment. But good on Trump. Glad he prevailed. And I know the left are going out of their mind over this. They just are out of their minds over this, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Anyway, siding with Trump, looking at this other case, the federal D.C. appellate court ruled that Chief Judge James Boasberg had wrongly, quote, threatened criminal contempt against the executive branch officials as a backdoor to coercing compliance with an order that has been vacated by the Supreme Court. I want to read this to you again, okay? The D.C. appellate court ruled that Chief Judge James Boasberg had wrongly, quote, threatened criminal contempt against executive branch officials as a backdoor to coercing compliance with an order that has been vacated by the Supreme Court, unquote. You see, Boasberg had continued threatening the Trump administration with contempt for supposedly violating his temporary restraining order, despite the Supreme Court already having ruled against that ruling. Now, does this case continue despite the seemingly guaranteed win for Trump at the Supreme Court? This all had to do with the Trendaguar people being sent to Venezuela. You know, he's saying, oh, you can't do that. Trump said, I can. He said, well, I told you, you have to turn around and bring them back. He said, well, they were already up in the air. And the Supreme Court made it abundantly clear that, you know, that Boasberg had no jurisdiction in this area. Nor did he have the right to supplant the executive's prerogative when it comes to putting forward protocols for foreign policy. Now, this, I think, is just one for the books. Absolutely one for the books. Also, Democrats are defending illegal immigrants by saying they should all be entitled to due process, as if they're entitled to such a thing after they've ignored the deportation orders. Why is that? Why are they doing that? I mean, yes, it's true that a notice to appear and a deportation order, these are not in and of themselves due process. All right. And yes, these folks are subsequently entitled to a hearing. But when they ignore either the notice to appear or the deportation order, they lose their entitlement to the hearing and may be deported by ICE upon capture. And after that point, which really defines the vast majority of cases. Most of these folks who are served these notice to appears and a deportation order, they ignore them. Anyway, after that point, the Democrats still histrionically shrill, or I should say, when listening to their histrionically shrill bellowing for due process, I think they show themselves to be vacuous and provably bad faith in their exercises. These folks seem to have a disconnect with the King's English. More on this upon a return. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
Everyone's using it, but not everyone is talking about it, and that's AI in the workplace. Kelsey Warren, founder of the Seamless Coach LLC, shares why many employees say they're keeping this, along with their feelings about other technologies, to themselves, and what business and IT leaders can learn.
According to new research from Cox Business, 60% of Gen Z and millennials feel positive about the growing role of AI at work and use AI tools for everything from summarizing meetings to creative brainstorming. But about half of both groups are nervous to admit how much the role of AI technology plays in their productivity. Fear of job loss and uncertainty about companies' AI policies factor into employees' hesitancy to speak up. The survey also revealed that despite being confident in their ability to adopt new technology, nearly 70% feel overwhelmed by the number of tools they're expected to use at work.
For more information and to see the full survey, visit coxblue.com/workplace-tech-survey.
The spirit of Fred Rogers lives on when two hit spinoffs of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood come together for the first time. The Emmy-winning puppet series Don Quixote will welcome friends from the Emmy-winning Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood in a new crossover special premiering August 11th on PBS Kids. In Daniel Tiger Visits Someplace Else, Daniel Tiger meets Don Quixote, and the new pals embark on an epic adventure full of fun and surprises. The special episode even includes a new version of the classic Fred Rogers song Look and Listen, which encourages young viewers to ask questions to get to know someone better. Don Quixote co-executive producer Kristen DiQualo.
Bringing Don Quixote and Daniel Tiger together in this special has been a really exciting way for us to build on the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which inspires everything that we do. And I can't wait for families to see Daniel in the colorful, joyful world of Someplace Else with Donkey and her pals.
The Don Quixote crossover special begins streaming Monday, August 11th on PBS Kids.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on. And know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Biden addressed immigration Thursday evening. Green continued to yell.
Not really.
Prompting this apparently ad-libbed response, where Biden did say her name and held up the pin.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal.
Critics pointing out he called her Lincoln instead of Lakin. Others zeroing in on his use of illegal to describe the alleged murderer.
Now, you should have said undocumented, but that's not a big thing, okay? What's the big thing about it?
Representative Joaquin Castro calling Biden's rhetoric dangerously close to language from Donald Trump.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. If you're yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. I played that clip. It's actually from March of 2024, because part of our today's discussion involves how the Department of Homeland Security has made it abundantly clear that the term undocumented immigrant has no legal foundation. Insofar as the way the Democrats are using it, because an illegal immigrant is an illegal immigrant. An undocumented immigrant can be perfectly legal. You have people here who are legal residents. All right? They're not undocumented immigrants. I mean, if you're either an immigrant or you're an illegal immigrant. Undocumented, not really the term. Not really the term. And whenever the term illegal immigrant is used, the left become apoplectic. You were listening to an old news clip from NBC4, Montana, the Sinclair Group. You had reporter Kayla Gaskins talking about how at Biden's 2024 State of the Union address, prompted by a heckling Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, he paused and acknowledged that Lincoln Riley had in fact been a person who was killed by an illegal immigrant, inadvertently called her Lincoln Riley, but he did acknowledge it. And then when he was subjected to a ridicule by the far left, you heard then former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi saying, well, it's not really important, but yeah, he shouldn't have used that term. Why is it you can't use terms that are codified in U.S. law? This makes little sense, doesn't it? But why is that? And that's one of the things we're talking about today. We got the Department of Homeland Security, if you will, boxing the Democrats' collective ears over their use of the term undocumented immigrant. Again, versus the legal term alien, citing that it's the way they dodge their accountability for protecting criminal illegal immigrants. So what's next on that? But also we have other things we're looking at. Chief Judge James Boasberg of the U.S. District Court of the District of Columbia gets smacked down and spanked by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, which, of course, hands Trump an immigration win, a win for which he really never should have had to fight. But is the battle over? That's the big question. Also, counties in Illinois are rebelling against the Democrats' push for biological males to rival naturally born females in competitive school sports. What follows there as well. Also going on, of course, is the big to-do over Trump's management of the Ukraine-Russia war peace negotiations. We have assisting in the opining and analyzing over into the program, Jeff Cruer. He is political analyst, columnist with Town Hall, author of the highly praised work entitled America's Last Chance. He's also host of the award-winning Ringside Politics. Jeff, great to have you back. How are you today?
Hey, Alan. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. Well, it does appear that Trump, for the most part, has been receiving accolades for his performance when looking at his efforts to bring an end to the war between Ukraine and Russia. We've been examining how the majority of European leaders are openly pleased with the developments, even as these Democrats and legacy media types trip over themselves, portraying the guy as negatively as possible. I got to ask you, why does the collectivist left continuously claim the opposite of what folks provably see and hear with their own eyes and ears, Jeff?
Well, I mean, they're lying to the people, trying to criticize Donald Trump for bringing about diplomacy, for trying to bring about peace, for doing everything that Biden, who we heard in the last clip, wasn't doing. Biden, the war started under Biden's watch. President Trump is trying to end it. This is a war, Alan, that's halfway around the world. We don't have American soldiers there. So it's not really a keen interest to the United States, but he wants to solve this as a world statesman, as the number one peacemaker in the world. And only Donald Trump could bring together Putin and Zelensky. Only Donald Trump has that kind of stature. I think he's done an amazing job. He's ended 7 wars. He should have won 4 Nobel Peace Prizes by now. And, of course, this is the biggest one and the biggest hurdle, and it's something that's very difficult. But I've got faith in President Trump. I mean, I think he can get it done, and the left should be praising him. You know, Alan, in the past, the left used to be about peace. Now the left is about war. You know, now it's a bunch of warmongers and neocons that want endless war. Donald Trump's trying to end that, and I think we should all applaud him.
He's done a magnificent job. I think they're just reflexively against all things Trump, even if Trump, let's say, does something for which they, as a party, had a history of cheering. I mean, Trump helped broker the end to conflicts between Azerbaijan and Armenia, Congo and Rwanda, Cambodia and Thailand. Of course, during his first term, he did the Abraham Accords when former Secretary of State John Kerry had insisted that no, you can't have any of these deals unless you first go through the Palestinian grinder. And, you know, even Kerry has admitted recently that Trump has proven him wrong at a number of levels. But it's as if Democrats and the politicized legacy media, Jeff, are publicly pointing to a picture, to the picture of a circle, but insisting that we're actually viewing a square, and then getting pissed off when they're corrected about the obvious. I realize that legacy media carries buckets of water for these Neanderthals, but Jeff, what happens when those buckets become bathtubs? I mean, at one point or another, the public sees
this. You know what happens, Alan? More people trust President Trump. And I saw his approval rating is up to 54%, which is a very high mark for President Trump, considering how deranged his opponents are and how, you know, they stop at nothing to criticize everything he's doing, just as you say. So I think more people are now trusting in his ability as a world statesman to try to bring these conflicts to an end. And, of course, don't forget Gaza. He's had done yeoman's work there to try to bring that to an end. He's got a great envoy, Steve Witkoff, who is flying all over the place. And I just contrast this with the nothingness of the Biden administration. They did nothing to end any of these wars. I mean, it's just such a contrast. And also it's a contrast, Alan, to the United Nations. They're not doing anything either. So we've got one peacemaker, we've got one team, and it's a great team that Trump has assembled. And, you know, I'm praying that we can have success here. I mean, thousands of people are dying regularly. It's got to end.
Now, even Bill Maher said, say whatever you want about Trump. The reality is he really hates killing and he wants to end wars, and that should be commended.
Right.
UK Prime Minister pretty much echoed the same thing. Now, the Washington Post, George Will, a guy who I used to think of as a kind of a conservative, a rather erudite thinker, has just become really afflicted with TDS. He recently wrote of Trump the following: let us hope that America's domestic political degradations have not rendered it incapable of embarrassment, which is a prerequisite for recuperation. Alaska was not just another drop in our overflowing bucket of mortifications. It was proof that for the next 41 months, no interlocutor can believe a word this U.S. president says. I mean, this guy's envy-based condemning assessment of Trump's role in the effort to resolve the Ukraine-Russia war, I think, has all the credibility of a sociopath lecturing us on the need for empathy. Where am I being too strident?
Amen. This guy is about as relevant as Bill Kristol now. I mean, he's afflicted with TDS. No one should take anything he says seriously. It's a shame. He used to have a good reputation now.
Final word. Thanks again, Jeff.
Substance use and mental health often go hand in hand. Research shows that teens who struggle with their mental health are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched the Free Mind campaign to help prevent substance use and overdose among youth ages 12 to 17. As a parent or caregiver, you play a powerful role. Staying connected with your teen can reduce their risk for drug use. Before you talk to them about drugs, talk to them about how they're really doing. And remember, empathy is key. Ask questions, listen without judgment, lead with compassion, let them know they're not alone. Because sometimes an open and honest conversation between you and your teen can make all the difference. Learn how to start a conversation at cdc.gov/freemind/parents. That's cdc.gov/freemind/parents. Sponsored by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Well, some intriguing things are going on indeed. Chief Judge James Boasberg of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia gets smacked down and spanked by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. This, of course, hands Trump an immigration win, a win for which he really never should have had to fight. But is the battle over? It's a good question. It's a good question. And one I think that we're going to put to our next guest, who is none other than Angie Wong, Republican strategist, Miami GOP committee woman and chairman at the Capitol Hill Fight Club. She's here to chat with us about Chief Judge Boasberg and deportation flights in general. Angie, good to have you on board. How are you today?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, this is another great win for Donald Trump. He's just winning all over the place. It's just so sad that he has to go through the long arms of the justice route to basically prove that he's right every which time. But you have all these activist judges that are just acting as speed bumps yet again. So I'm very happy to see the latest order for the D.C. Court of Appeals to smack this judge down. He's been issued a cease and desist to all further, so he can't issue any further, you know, ex parte TROs anymore to stop Trump. So this is great news for everybody.
Oh, it really is. And again, siding with Trump, the federal D.C. appellate court ruled formally that Chief Judge James Boasberg had wrongly, quote, threatened criminal contempt against executive branch officials as a backdoor to coercing compliance with an order that has been vacated by the Supreme Court. He had, you know, ruled months ago that these Trenta Agua folks did not have to leave the country. He ordered the government to leave them there. The government said, wait a minute, these folks have been declared terrorists. These are foreign terrorist organizations, and we as the executive have the right to deem them such. So what they did was they took advantage of what they perceived to be a loophole because the judge had only given verbal restraint. So they sent them on a flight to Venezuela, and the judge looked upon that as a violation of his order. But then during the interim, the Supreme Court said, hey, you don't have jurisdiction on this anyway. Number two, you shouldn't be ruling in this fashion. But then the judge said, well, I can still get them on contempt by saying that, it wasn't just that you're not supposed to let them out of the country. You actually are not supposed to let them go to a specific other country. You know, like a contrast where there was no difference. And long story short, this appellate court spanked him for that as well. Is this going to end? I mean, it looks as if it's an apparent win for Trump, even if it goes all the way to the Supreme Court. But is that reality enough, or will the plaintiff still try their hand at another appeal?
I mean, at this point, it's like, who's the plaintiff, right? Is it this judge? Because that's what it seems like. He seems to be the one who's micromanaging federal issues. He is not in charge of immigration issues and laws. He's only there to assert and apply the law as the Constitution projects. This is a gross interpretation of whatever law lives in his mind. And I think that's why the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals smacked him down. And not only that, he is getting a misconduct complaint that was filed. I think it was Pam Bondi who filed that just last month or in the last couple of weeks against him, because this is a gross overreach. Ultimately, a clash between a judicial authority who has completely overreached his jurisdiction and the executive powers that is afforded to the president when he got voted in by, guess what, the American public. It's very clear that this is what the left has left, right, are these radical judges who are going to do every which way of misinterpreting law. This is not law. This is, if this were not a judge and this were just a typical, you know, Joe and Jane civilian doing this, this would be criminal. I mean, I couldn't pull this stuff off and you know, have it stick. So this judge thinks he can, and that's what's being challenged today. Clearly, it was motivated by politics. He has a district court judge does not have federal reach, and that's what he was trying to do here. And this is the wrong jurisdiction and also the wrong diversity, because this was all done in Texas. What is he doing?
Yeah, the jurisdiction was never his anyway, so why they try to, you know, shuttle it over to another jurisdiction? So it was weak on so many levels, but, you know, I guess these folks believe, and some of the folks in the judiciary believe, that because they wear the trappings of officialdom, they get to disconnect themselves from the very body of laws they require the rest of us to follow. That's just not the case. And actually, there is an ability for the president not to have to be subjected to the whole judicial process if, in fact, what's under threat is his separated power. Look, there can be debate over the advisability of when to use this presidential prerogative, but its codified existence can never be disputed. See, every president has the unassailable, albeit sometimes perilous, constitutional option to actually use the functionality and mechanics of his branch's separated powers to leverage his check against what he might believe to be an unconstitutional encroachment upon those powers by really any component of the judiciary. And he can do this even as the dispute makes its way through the appellate process. And this is especially relevant to what you and I were discussing, especially relevant to, let's say, time-sensitive issues, when even an eventually favorable decision for the president would be moot because of a lower court's flawed ruling having caused irrevocable damage. In other words, what I'm saying is this. The president can ignore any federal judge's usurpation of his branch's prerogatives by taking advantage of the court's inability to enforce it. A limitation, if you might remember, that was deliberately designed by the office of our Constitution. Why? To ensure that no part of the judiciary could ever morph into a tyrannical entity. Because contrary to popular understanding, guess what? The judiciary is never, ever, ever the final arbiter over whether or not it has usurped another branch's separated powers. Otherwise, it could potentially rule that it has the actionable authority to oversee the military's operation instead of the president, as well as initiate legislation instead of Congress. Where the hell am I off base by even a diphthong, I ask you?
That was a great, great, absolutely right. I learn something every day, and thank you for that. No, you're absolutely right. This is complete overreach. Look, the president has a duty to protect this country. Judges can't fly planes around or fight gangs. They don't have that ability. But yet they're hindering our president from doing his job with all these TROs. So I am very happy to see that the day has come for judges like this to basically be shut down. I wonder if there's any real legal pathway for this judge to be removed as a federal judge.
Only by impeachment. And impeachment and then expulsion, and 2/3 votes are required. But strangely enough, that's the failsafe for a president that ever has to put a check on the judiciary. And it's not lawlessness. It is a constitutional option he has. Look, I should point this out. I got to stress this. The president is not a king. So, you know, if he rejects any court's order, including a district court, appellate court, or even the Supreme Court, he's not a king. So he's got a check against, let's say, becoming a tyrannical entity himself, should he interfere with, let's say, proper judicial review in the name of protecting his separated powers. So citizens can, you know, through Congress, either find that a president is, let's say, right about a judge's rogue conduct and let his rejection pass, and they don't do anything about it, and therefore the president's check stands. But you know, maybe the House will find that he's the rogue actor and impeach him and then send the case to the Senate for a trial. But here's the stick. If it fails to reach in the Senate the 2/3 vote required to trigger that expulsion, well, then the president will have won the constitutional argument in focus as per the highest legal process in the land, and his repulsion of that alleged judicial overreach shall stand. This is not a constitutional crisis. This is a constitutional remedy. In other words, the president can say, hey, to any part of the judiciary, you are usurping my separated powers, and it will harm this country if I allow it to happen. I have the prerogative to put a check on you and not follow your ruling. That's why you, the judiciary, were never given the right to implement any of your rulings, because that would make you a potentially rogue entity. So I'm going to take advantage of that, because born out of your limitation is my ability to check you. Now, again, the president's not a king, and the House can impeach him and the Senate can expel him. But if the Senate does not reach the 2/3 votes necessary to expel him or to stop him, then by default, he will have won that separation of powers argument, and it will have been won constitutionally. Because, again, the judiciary is just another litigant when the argument is over separated of powers. I mean, don't forget, it's one of the cornerstones of law has always been that nobody gets to be a judge in his own trial. Well, that goes for the branch of the judiciary as well. Where am I mistaken, Ms. Wong?
You are not mistaken. Wow, that was a powerhouse. No, I love it. I hope this happens to other judges who stand in President Trump's way. It's time that we give the president full authority to do what he needs to do to protect this country.
Angie Wong, if you don't mind, I'd like to keep you around if I can. Can you hang on the line for just a moment, folks? You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Going to be right back.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pba.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist, because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids' meals too. Just order a kids' meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new Prickly Pear Raspberry Water Fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode, and we've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit Whataburger.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'll be yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. Well, I'll tell you, it's must be a fun time for President Trump right now. A lot of things seem to be going his way. Chief Judge James Boasberg of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia gets smacked down and spanked by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, handing Trump an immigration win for which, as I said earlier, he should have never had to fight. But is the battle over? Not to be outdone in sizzle, we have this coming out from New York. I'm reading the Daily Signal. The headline is breaking: Court throws out multi-million dollar fraud penalty against Trump. An appeals court threw out the $355 million fraud penalty against President Trump on Thursday. The appellate division of the Supreme Court of the state of New York found the penalty excessive in violation of the Constitution. Trump responded to the ruling, praising the court for the quote-unquote courage to throw out this unlawful and disgraceful decision that was hurting business all throughout New York State. And what he means by that is, basically, he was charged for fraud in that he was supposedly misrepresenting the value of his assets as a way to get more favorable terms for this loan or loans acquired from Deutsche Bank. Well, Deutsche Bank's people were brought in as witnesses for the prosecution, and they wound up more favorably testifying for the defendant because they said, hey, we love doing the business with the guy. He made good on all his promises. He paid all his debts, and we want to do business with him again. This involved Trump supposedly or allegedly misrepresenting the value of his assets. All he did was what everybody in business does. You describe the value that you believe should be attached to your assets, and then those who are considering you for a loan do their own due diligence. Then they arrive at a figure. And then if there's a disconnect, you guys hammer it out, and you come to an agreed-upon value, and then you go forward with business. And that's all that happened. But before, as you might remember, I likened it to any of us going into buying a new car while wishing to trade in our old one. When it comes time to buying the new car, you then have to discuss the value of your used car. You attach to it a value you think is accurate, which always differs from the dealership, and then the two of you hammer out a compromise, and then you move forward with the purchase. Well, that's all that was really happening here. And it chilled business throughout the Empire State because of the silliness. But anyway, as just mentioned, it has been resolved to Trump's advantage. Yet again, another reason for the left to go apoplectic in their sorrow, because TDS truly has afflicted them beyond all doubt. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing, sticking around, and we appreciate that. Old friend of the show, Angie Wong, Republican strategist, Miami GOP committeewoman, and chairman at the Capitol Hill Fight Club. Angie, another big win for the Prez. What say you?
Yeah, this is never about justice. This is all about politics. And finally, Letitia James has been exposed. I remember covering this last year, and it was complete lawfare. She sat there in the public box with her hands folded, smirking at him, you know, watching every minute, salivating that he's on trial. You know, he was spending probably $1 million a week on lawyers, trying to defend himself. How was that not election interference? Because now we're getting the results of all this, right? Now we're seeing that this is a Eighth Amendment victory, that the Constitution actually protects Americans, right? And this was completely excessive in fines. It was government overreach. She abused her office. She's made a fool of herself. And guess what? Now Trump is going after her. I saw Ed Martin in Brooklyn, New York, staring outside Letitia James's brownstone, where she may have also overvalued the price of her property there. So, you know, the tables have turned. Again, this is a long...
Yeah, and now the left are saying that Trump's, seeking retribution and weaponizing law enforcement, holding accountable those who had themselves weaponized law enforcement is not a weaponizing of law enforcement itself. And just because accountability might feel good to witness does not devalue it, nor does it make it revenge. Just because accountability might feel good to the people who were originally harmed doesn't make it revenge. It's okay if you feel good about accountability being visited upon those who had in fact committed the weaponizing of law. Where am I mistaken?
No, you're absolutely right. And you know why? Because if it can happen to Trump, it can happen to any business owner in New York. And we saw a large migration of businesses leaving New York because of Letitia James and all and her crew. Right. Kathy Hochul is involved in that. Lots of people cheered them on when they saw someone who is a born and bred New Yorker like Donald Trump in Queens make it to billionaire status only to shake him out. Why? Because of politics. So, you know, this has to take place. We have to hold those elected officials to the fire when they do this sort of thing. It scared every single American. I know it scared every New York City business man and woman. Because this was selective enforcement, right? They didn't go after just anybody. They chased Trump. They didn't chase any of the Wall Street firms that were doing this or the banks that helped support all this stuff. But they went after one man. So I'm going to ask you, is this election interference? Because I think it could be wrapped up in this. I think Letitia James could be hiring lawyers right now.
It's definitely election interference, just like when you had people who were still active in government joining forces with intelligence agents who were no longer active in government, but joining efforts to convince the world that the Hunter Biden laptop was, in fact, Russian spy craft when they knew better. Their own intelligence explained it differently, pointed out that the laptop was authentic. We could describe that as also election interference fraud committed by those in positions of power. Getting back to the Daily Signal, as they described this, they said in February of 2024, a New York judge ordered Trump and his companies to pay more than $300 million in penalties after finding that he engaged in fraud by padding financial statements that went to lenders and insurers. Judge Arthur Engoron ordered him last year to pay $355 million in penalties with interest. The sum is now over $515 million. And this is what the appellate court said. While the injunctive relief ordered by the court is well crafted to curb defendants' business culture, as if that should ever be a measure, the court's disgorgement order, which directs that defendants pay nearly $500 million to the state of New York, is an excessive fine that violates the Eighth Amendment of the United States Constitution, you know, against cruel and unusual punishment. This written by judges Diane T. Renwick and Peter H. Moulton in one of their opinions shaping the court's ruling. It seems to me that Letitia James has a few concerns on her plate these days, does she not?
Look, Trump is going to get in there. He's going to flush all this out. Remember, it's only been 200 days. Letitia James, you should lawyer up right now.
Oh, very quickly. Angie Wong, thanks again. Always great to have you on board. Republican strategist, Miami GOP committee woman, and chairman at the Capitol Hill Fight Club. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.